The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
This message was delivered during Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church 2016 annual meeting on October the 1st, 2016, during the Saturday afternoon service. Elder Sam Bryant from Birmingham, Alabama, was invited minister as he delivers this message entitled, Add to Your Faith, from 2 Peter chapter 1.
I'd like to call your attention this afternoon to 2 Peter chapter 1. This morning we were in 1 Peter chapter 1, where the apostle was admonishing us to desire the sincere milk of the word that we might grow thereby, grow spiritually. And this afternoon I want us to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. We have the same writer that we were looking at this morning, and I'd like to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. Not through our own righteousness, but through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How many of you feel like you need grace and peace multiplied? Not just added, but multiplied in our lives. I do. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The promises of men are not usually precious. Men are known to break their promises, either through their inability to keep their promises or just simply by changing their mind. But the Apostle Peter describes the promises of God as being exceedingly great and precious, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We know that we are all partakers of human nature through our parents. I'm the son of Elsie and Ruby Bryant, and I inherited my human nature from them. But if I'm a child of God and I've been born again, I have a divine nature, a spiritual nature, partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now we come to verse 5, and this is what I really want to try to preach on this afternoon. And beside this, What do you think the apostle has in mind there when he said, and beside this? He's saying, in addition to this, in addition to what God has done for us, and that, of course, we'll be learning all about that in heaven, in eternity. We only get a glimpse of it here in this world, what God has done for us, the exceeding great and precious promises of God. I hope to spend eternity exploring what God has done for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. But besides this, besides the great work of God in our salvation, beside what God has done to save us from hell to heaven, besides that, or in addition to that, you know, some people just want to hear about that. But there's more in Scripture than just what God has done for us for eternity. So the apostle says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, let's notice just a moment that expression, giving all diligence. When I read that statement, what comes to your mind? Giving all diligence. I think it means to put your heart in it. Amen. To be excited about what he's going to be teaching us here. Giving all diligence. So, in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now, there are a number of things here that the Apostle Peter tells us that we are to add to our faith. And did you notice he did not say that we are to add faith to our faith? When you're born of the Spirit of God, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is faith. God gives you faith. You have that principle in your new or divine nature. Just like you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith. You have all of that in you. But what are we going to do with it? Are we going to exercise it? Are we going to use it? So, the Apostle Peter does not say, add faith to your faith. I've heard people say, my faith wouldn't fill a thimble. You know what a thimble is? The ladies who sew know what a thimble is, something you wear on your thumb to protect you from the needle or the pin. It's very small, a thimble is. And I've heard people say, my faith is so little, it wouldn't fill a thimble. Well, Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you know how tiny that is? You could put a grain of mustard seed in the palm of your hand, and you might have a little trouble seeing it. So, beloved, it's not how much faith we have. It's what we do with the faith we have. A little faith in a big God is an amazing thing. So, the Apostle Peter is not saying, now you all just don't have enough faith. Jesus did say on a number of occasions to his disciples, O ye of little faith. And he said to some Gentiles, he said, I've not seen so great faith, no, not in all Israel. But in my mind, what Jesus was saying was, when he said, oh, ye of little faith, he was talking about the fact that they were not exercising it, they were not using it. So, beloved, you and I have enough faith to get us through this life. We do. But what we've got to do is add to that faith. Not add faith to faith, but add some other things to your faith. And what is it that we're to add? Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. That is love in action. And notice again what the apostle says, giving all diligence. We're to be diligent about our Christian life, about our Christian growth. You know, if you, let's say that you're playing sports and you have the ability to play the game well. We have a brother in our church that plays baseball, and he's very good at it. And he's been promoted recently to the major leagues. And he plays for the Milwaukee Brewers. Now let me tell you, Jake Elmore has given diligence to develop his talents. He's getting on up in years. He's 29 years old. I know that sounds like that's pretty young, but in baseball, that's getting on up there. So Jake has to give it all he's got to compete with the others, you know, on the other teams or even on the team that he's in. He gives it his best. He's not a real big guy, but I can tell you he has maximized what he's got physically for the game. You don't make it to the major leagues by not giving it diligence, right? If you're half-hearted, you don't show up for practice, you're about 50 pounds overweight, you're probably not going to make it. You've got to give diligence. Now, wouldn't it be something if all of us gave that kind of diligence to our spiritual life? Somebody told me this morning, He said, I drove an hour and a half to get a whipping this morning. He said, I was stepping on his toes. I said, well, I'm a poor aim. I was aiming for your heart and hit your toes. But the truth is, beloved, we all want to grow spiritually, but we've got to give diligence to it. Giving all diligence. Be passionate about your prayer life, about your love walk, about your church membership, about your study of the Scriptures. Just be passionate about it. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. And what is the first thing the Apostle Peter says that we are to add to our faith? Now this is something you and I've got to do. God does not do it for us. Let me ask you all a question. Have y'all ever heard that expression, God helps those who help themselves? I've heard people say that's in the Bible. The Bible says God helps those that help themselves. Well, I don't think that's in the Bible. I think Benjamin Franklin is the one who said that. And there is an element of truth in that. But I would word it this way. God helps those who lean on Him. Would y'all agree with that? God helps those who go to Him in prayer and say, Lord, help me. Let me tell you, He's going to be there. He's going to show up. He's going to help you. And you need help as you give all diligence. But there's a lot here for us to do. My daddy used to say, somebody said one time to my dad, they said, well, Brother Bryant, what you preach, and he was an old Baptist, and he preached salvation by the grace of God. And somebody said to him, Brother Bryant, what you preach encourages people to sit down on the stool of do nothing. Have y'all ever heard that? My daddy's reply was, well, as far as going to heaven is concerned, you might as well sit down, because Jesus has already taken care of that. And He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Do you think Jesus would have ever sat down if one person He died for was still in danger of going to hell? No. But He sat down after He had purged us from our sins right by Himself. So as far as going to heaven is concerned, you and I can just sit down and rest in the finished work of Christ. I think we sung that song today, didn't we? It is finished. I love that song. What about y'all? Jesus left this world saying, it is finished. what was finished, what he came to do, and what did he come to do? To save his people from their sins. But now when it comes to our Christian life, you and I need to get up off of the stool of do-nothing and get busy and give all diligence to add to our faith virtue. Now, virtue is an interesting word. Old Elder Byrd used to tell me the word basically means courage. It can mean moral excellence, of course, but the word virtue, I think, as the Apostle Peter is using it here, is talking about courage. Let me tell you, if you're going to live a Christian life in this post-Christian America, you're going to have a lot of courage to stand up against the evils of our time. To stand up and say that abortion on demand is cold-blooded murder. Premeditated. If abortion on demand is not wrong, there's nothing wrong in this world. To stand up against same-sex marriage, it's going to take courage. Our nation is far away from the scriptural principles. And if you're going to live a Christian life, you're going to have courage. Let me tell you, they say that old age is not for wimps. I'll agree with that. I'm learning that. But I want to tell you, Christianity is not for wimps either. If you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to stand for what's right, you're going to have courage. You can't be a coward. And there was a time when the Apostle Peter was a coward. You know, in the upper room, he said, Jesus, I'll go with you to death. But when they came and questioned him, he said, I don't even know the man. But later, thank God, he did add courage to his faith. And he died a martyr's death for Jesus. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And I don't think he's talking about the kind of knowledge you get down here at the college in Starkville. Nothing wrong with that. If you're going to have a career, you need an education. Nothing wrong with education. But the knowledge the apostle is saying we're to add to our courage is Bible knowledge. We need to know about the creation of the universe, right? Aren't y'all glad that God loved us enough to communicate to us His Word? We're not just passing through this world in darkness and ignorance. We've got the book to tell us where the universe came from. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You need to know that in this crazy world we're living in, where they're trying to tell me that it all came from atheistic evolution. I was flying back from Africa last May, and I was sitting next to an Englishman who had been to Africa, and I think he had a good heart in him. He'd been over there to teach people how to grow sweet potatoes. Now, I want to tell you, when you go to Africa to do that, you're not all bad. But the man had been in the university in England, and his mind had been darkened and twisted, and he just didn't believe in the Bible account of creation. As a matter of fact, he said, Pastor, he said, I'm not even sure there's a God. I said to him, well, now this jet plane we're flying on, I said, do you think it just happened? You just evolved? He said, it did. And you know, he had a point. The Wright brothers started it. And you know, and they kept on, yeah, the plane we were on was a sight better than the one the Wright brothers were on. But I said to him, I said, okay, I'll admit it has evolved, but was there intelligence behind it? Ooh, now that gave him pause. He had to stop and say, yes. So even if you believe in evolution, you got to admit there's an intelligence behind it. That plane didn't just come together on its own. You need a working knowledge of God's Word to start in Genesis 1 and 1. What a preamble for Holy Scripture. What a foundation for all the rest of divine Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's a good place to start.
Amen.
And from there you find out that Adam sinned. God made Adam and He made him sinless. Do y'all believe that? And do you think God planned on Adam sinning? He wanted him to sin. He made him sin. I don't believe that. The Bible says by one man, sin entered into the world. Not by one God, by one man. Let's not blame God with what man did. And sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And you need to know about the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who came into the world and lived a perfect sinless life and took his righteousness and imputes it to his elect family so that they can all go to heaven someday by his marvelous grace. You need to know what the bread and the wine represent when you take communion. You need to know what feet washing represents. You need to know what the water of baptism represents. Yes, sir, you need to know, you need a working knowledge of the Bible, right?
Right.
And if you don't have a Bible, I know a group that'll give you one. The Gideons. I attend the Gideon's banquet in Birmingham every year, and we try to help them out some, and I wish they were staying right with the King James Bible. I think they're going with the New King James some. But they send millions of Bibles all over the world every year. You need to know something about this book. You need to add to your virtue knowledge. Ignorance is an awful thing when it comes to the Bible. Paul said over and over, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Isn't that right? And you need to be going to a church where the man of God is teaching the Word of God. And you're learning. You're there to learn. Add to your virtue knowledge. And then add to your knowledge temperance. That is self-control. Learn how to control your thoughts. Learn how to control your words. Learn how to be in control by the help of God. And then add to your temperance, what does he say? Add to your temperance patience. Learn how to let patience have her perfect work in your life. You know, the Bible says, in your patience possess ye your souls. We need to learn how to be patient in life. And then add to your patience godliness. That is, just live a godly life. And to godliness, add brotherly kindness. Just be kind to your brothers in Christ. And then add to your brotherly kindness what? Charity. Which is love in action. That's what charity is. Charity is love and act. Did you know that the word love is a verb? It is. It's not a noun, it's a verb. And you and I are to be loving people. The Bible teaches us that. As a matter of fact, over in Galatians, let's turn over and look at that just a moment. The Apostle Paul said to the Galatians, I think it's in chapter 5, he says, beginning in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt hate thy neighbor. Is that the fulfillment of the law? No. He says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Did you know that really all the child of God needs to know is how to love? And if you love like you ought to, you're going to keep all the commandments. Is that not right? You hadn't got to memorize all the commandments. You hadn't got to memorize everything the Bible says about how to live. Just love God and love one another. That is the fulfillment of the law. So, the apostle ends up this chapter by saying, add to brotherly love, charity. Now, I want to ask you all a question this morning. How many of you have added to your faith perfect virtue? None of us. We'll have our moments of weakness and cowardness. How many of us have added perfect knowledge to our virtue? I don't think any of us even come close to being perfect with any of these things. But I give you an illustration that I heard probably 45 years ago. Elder Doc Little gave this illustration, and I've never forgotten it. And I hope it'll stay with you for the next 45 years. He said, you know, it's like baking a cake. You know, in Georgia, some of the sisters over there will bake these chocolate cakes. They'll have like 12 layers. I'm telling you, they're good. He said, now, Let's say that your virtue and your knowledge and your patience and your temperance and your godliness and your brotherly kindness, all of those are layers in a cake. And none of them are perfect. No layer on that cake is perfect. Every layer is going to have a cavity or it's going to have a tear somewhere. You just can't get them to come out perfect, can you? But then what you do is get that chocolate out and you put it all over those layers and it covers up the cavities and the cracks and the crevices and it just turns out beautiful. He said, love is what we're going to use to cover up a lot of our deficiencies. And let me tell you, if I'm around somebody and I'm convinced they're loving people, they love me, they love others, they love the Lord, they show that love, you know what it does? It covers up a lot of their imperfections. Would y'all agree with that? And so the apostle is saying, add to all of these things charity. And what is charity? It's love in action. And I want to tell you, without it, none of these other things work. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. He goes on to talk about giving your goods to feed the poor, giving your body to be burned. You know, those would be noble things. But he said, without charity, you are a zero. You're nothing. You know where you and I really get our worth? By loving. That's what the world needs. Let me tell you, of all of God's great attributes, which one to you is the dearest of all? The fact that God loves us. And you know what? He loves us with a perfect love. Did you know God's love is a perfect love? And John says that perfect love casteth out fear. And the more you and I know about how much God loves us and His love for us is perfect, the less fear we are going to have in this life. Oh, brothers and sisters, you know, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And he goes on to say, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or famine or nakedness or pearl or sword? No. No, he says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he comes to the conclusion of that great chapter and says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor any other creature shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If God loves you today, he loved you before the world ever was because he's outside of time. And if he loves you today, he'll love you a billion years from now. His love is a perfect love. And you know, when Jesus was on that cross, suffering, wearing a crown of thorns, hanging there in naked shame with his hands and feet pierced and suffering the wrath of the Almighty. You know, the only thing he had to do to deliver himself from that suffering was to say, Father, I am not going to do this. I'm not going to take their place. It's too much. You're asking too much. Just take me down from this cross and take me back to glory and let the children be lost. But did he do that? The Bible says, and having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them to the end. And let me tell you, little children, if Jesus Christ didn't stop loving us on that cross, he's not going to stop loving us today. Amen. You're safe in his love. Recently, I heard an old song. I hadn't heard it in years by Ray Charles. Some of you old enough to remember Ray Charles. He was a great vocalist. He used to sing a song, I Can't Stop Loving You. Some of you remember that song. Well, I want to tell you, God cannot stop loving you. He doesn't want to stop, and he can't stop because he loves you with a perfect love. And the more you know about his love for you, the more I think you're going to want to love him. His love constrains us. Tell me more about the love of God for me, even when I was an enemy, when I was dead in sin, when I was as far away from God as I could be. He loved me and gave His Son to die for me. So now the apostle says, add to your cake this wonderful love of God. And it just kind of covers all of your imperfections, doesn't it? It's amazing. My mother, I mentioned my family this morning. My mother was, she was a wonderful person, but she had to be tough. You know, with 15 kids around, she had to be tough. And when my mama spoke, the earth shook. Now, she was about 5 feet tall, but let me tell you, we had a preacher one time in our home, and she called dinner, and he was telling a story. And when my mama got the dinner on the table, she'd worked hard to get it on the table. She wanted everybody ready to sit down. And this preacher was telling a long-winded story. She got him by the ear. And she said, I called y'all to dinner. And this pastor loved my mother for that. He said, you know, the Marine Corps missed out on a great drill sergeant when they didn't get your mama. Mama was tough. But let me tell you, we all knew she loved us. She'd get up in the morning. We lived in an old house that didn't have any, we didn't have central heating. We didn't even have insulation. You put a glass of water on the mantelpiece in freezing weather, and in the morning, it would be ice. That's the kind of house we grew up in. My mama got up every morning before anybody else and had a fire in the kitchen and breakfast on the stove. Now, when she called breakfast, she wanted us to come. Let me tell you, we came a-running. We knew what we'd get if we didn't. But that was love. We all knew she loved us. And loving her, we could overlook some of her roughness. My mama could be like sandpaper. God knows I'm telling the truth. We loved her. She loved us. Love covers a multitude of what? Sins. And when you and I in the church really learn to love one another, we're not going to be gossiping about one another. We're not going to be backbiting. We're not going to be devouring. We're going to be building people up. And let me tell you, when people come to our churches to worship, you know what the most impressive thing we could ever show them is? Our love for them.
Amen.
Make people feel loved. You can have a $20 million building with all kinds of stained glass and pipe organs and robed choirs and all of that. But if it's cold, people aren't going to be blessed. That stuff doesn't bless you. You know what blesses people? Being loved. When Brother Obey from Tanzania came to our church, he was in a Bible college in Birmingham, Alabama. He was about 6'4". He was as thin as a rail. He was African, full-blooded African. And he spoke with a strange accent. But when he came into our church, the children made him feel loved. Invited him to stay for dinner. And he said, how could I resist? He'd been to churches and wouldn't even be acknowledged. Folks, you, more than your pastor, have the responsibility to show anybody who comes here, we love you. We don't know your name. We don't know, but you come to visit us. You're welcome. Add to your wonderful qualities charity. For if these things be in you and abound, what does he say? You'll get into heaven someday? No, that's not what's getting you into heaven.
No.
It's the grace of God that gets us into heaven. But he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who wants to be barren and unfruitful? Let me tell you about my mama again. She had some pear trees. She had a fig tree. She had a walnut tree. She had an apple tree. We lived off the land. They had big gardens. And let me tell you, when my mama went to the pear tree, she expected some pears. And if they didn't bear, she'd go to work on them. Y'all know what I'm talking about, pruning them. God wants fruit out of us, folks. And if you're not learning to be virtuous and knowledgeable and patient and long-suffering, if you're not, the Lord's going to chasten you. You know, He does know how to whip us. Right. He can take us to the woodshed. Have y'all ever been to the woodshed with the Lord Jesus? I have. And He knows how to put a whipping on you. And it's out of love that He does it. But he that lacketh these things, Peter says, he's barren. He's unfruitful. And he has forgotten something. He has forgotten the most important thing anybody on this earth could ever know. That he was purged from his old sins. It doesn't mean that he's no longer purged, that he's not a child of God, or that he's backslidden and lost his salvation. He's lost the knowledge of it. And let me tell you, you don't want to lose that. The sweetest thing I know today is that God loves me and His Son died for me, and soon I'm going to fly away and be satisfied, as the hymn said. I don't want to forget that. Do y'all? He says, let's close with this thought. He said, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Peter believed in election. He believed that God had an elect people and He called them. Did he say that you're to make it sure to God? No. Make it sure to yourself. And the more you and I add these things to our faith, the more assurance we will have that we are among the elect of God. Thank you all for your wonderful, wonderful attention today. May God bless this church, bless your young pastor, bless all of us, that we may grow in grace and in knowledge. Thank you for your attention.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.